Thank you, Stu. Amazing to be here. And I'm not sure whose idea it was to put the clocks up on Mother's Day, but we just want to forgive them and bless them in Jesus' name. I do not know who decided that, but yes. So, but we've been doing this series on Deeper, and this is the wrap-up of it. So Deeper, and then we're heading into Further. And today it was so clear, and I think Eric and I are working together. What the Father gave me was pressing in. Okay, so if you're taking notes or want to write down any references, feel free to. But yeah, just felt like the Father's saying, each of us has an incredible song, each of us has a voice, and there's so much that wants to come against us to take that. But He wants us. His heart is for us to press in. And there's three things that will help. And you're going to hear things from the previous weeks overlapped, because a few weeks ago I came to Nikki and I said, oh my goodness, every time I'm hearing someone speak, it's like what the Father's given me. And she said, that's okay, because you can bring it with a different edge. So yeah, so the pressing in and the three things that I feel like He's saying to us, we need to keep seeing, keep listening, and walking in our authority. Okay, I'll say it again. He wants us to keep seeing. He wants us to keep listening and then walking in our authority. And I felt like the Holy Spirit had questions for us today. Do you long to see as I see? Do you long to hear my voice so closely that when I whisper, you have my complete and surrendered attention? I'm going to say that again. Do you long to see as He sees? Do you long to hear so closely that when the Holy Spirit whispers, He has your complete, undivided attention? And when things seem so overwhelming, do you know how to walk in His authority? So when we look at this idea, the first key is to keep seeing. And He longs for us to have eyes of faith. He longs for us to look at each other, and we look in each other's eyes, and we don't just look at the outside, but we see the Father's love. We see the Father's compassion. Yeah? That's how you can get along at work with people that you just don't really jive with, that you think, oh, you know, we're just so different. But He says, see as I see. And the thing is sometimes, this next slide says, it's not what we look at, but what we see. Okay, if you want to write that down, jot it, get it in your brain. Why don't you say it with me? It's not what we look at, but what we see. It's not what we look at, but what we see. And no more did this idea of not just looking at the situation, but saying, God, give me your eyes of faith. This became so real to our family in December. And many of you know that and you've prayed, and I'm so thankful, but many of you know our granddaughter, Annabelle, was 2 weeks old, and she had a raging temperature. And my daughter rang me and said, her temperature is like 37.5, and it's climbing. I said, okay, yeah, get her to A&E. And what turned into hours then turned into days. And the amazing thing is, when you're in a situation like that, the values and things that you've built throughout your life come out. And praise God, I'm so thankful for just one of the key core values of our family, our life, is just that of worship. And worship is saying, God, I do not get what's going on right now. God, I know this doesn't catch you by surprise, but Father, we know and believe that you're with us in this place. And so Gary and I were with our daughter. And the first thing that we realized when we were in there is that we carried His authority, okay? All around us, they started just doing what they do in triage. And we were in the big waiting room, and they quickly rushed her out and said, she cannot be with all these other people. She only is 2 weeks old. She has no immune system to fight what's in this room. So they rushed us into a private cubicle, and they said, "We don't mean to scare you, but we're going to pull out all stops. We're going to do every kind of test and find out what's going on." And I loved the fact that, especially being Mother's Day, to watch our daughter not crumble, not panic. Yes, she had a few tears, but she was almost stealth fighter to say, "I believe that my God's going to take care of this child that's come into this world." And we started praying, and we turned, and we started worshiping. And as we worshiped, it was so powerful that it was like this tangible fear that wanted to come on us, like a blanket of fear got pushed back. And as we worshiped, the ground that the enemy wanted to take dissipated. And that's powerful, okay? Know that you have a song, and sometimes that song's going to be really loud. Sometimes it's going to be just over the mountain, and sometimes it's a quiet song, but don't let the enemy take your song. And as we worshiped, it's a beautiful song. It's called Worthy of It All. Day and night, let incense rise. And what was so powerful is we realized in that place, we heard distress all around us. In those cubicles, there's just a sheet, and right next to it are people that are in you know, death or life situation. And the people right next to us were, this young girl was screaming in agony and pain. Here's the thing. What we carry is never just for us. Okay, what we carry is never just for us. And we felt like the Father, we just put our hands out and we said, "Lord, bring your peace in this place." The authority you give us says that the waves in the ocean can be calmed because of the peace of Christ in us. He says that you are the hope. Colossians 1:27 says, "The hope of Christ is in you." Turn to your neighbor. I love doing this, if you remember. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The hope of Christ is in you." Okay, one more time. "The hope of Christ is in you." Amen. What was amazing is that just a few days before that this happened, and it was right after, it was the day after Boxing Day, I have a chalkboard in our kitchen, and I had written the verse Hebrews 13:5. It's a powerful verse, and in the Passion Translation, it says that, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will not lose my grip on your life." I had no idea when I wrote that 48 hours I would take this picture. And if you see, this is actually a picture of Gary's hand, and Annabelle, who's 2 weeks old, is clutching his hand. And as I took it, it's like the Holy Spirit said, "Penny, do you remember? Do you remember what she wrote?" And it said, he said, "I will not loosen my grip on your life." And so it was beautiful to be able to worship, to carry that authority, and then in that place, sense his presence. But in that place, we were seeing, we were asking him for eyes of faith. But he also said, "I want you to keep listening." Keep listening. What are you listening to? And there's a beautiful word, shama. It's from Deuteronomy 6:4-5. And that's the verse that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength." And the beautiful thing about the word shema is that it's hearing, it's listening continually, and it's listening and doing. There's not a separate word for doing. Isn't that interesting? Okay, when you read the word hear, it's just listening and obeying, listening and walking in it. And that's his heart for each of us, that as we're going through life, when that crisis or just every day, that we're listening, our ears are tuned into him. Amen? Amen. And the beautiful thing, the beauty of our Father, his grace abounds. I don't say that lightly. The beauty of our Father is His grace abounds. So in a crisis, even if we go, God help, where are you? He answers, He's there. But I feel like what He's saying, church, is there's a song that's been in each of us, a song rising up. And in that time of crisis, He's challenging us. The Holy Spirit is saying, I want you, instead of being at this place from down here and looking up to me like I'm way far off and just pleading for help, I can answer you like that, but I also want you to come up in the heavenlies with me. He says that we are seated in heavenly places. Okay, we're seated in heavenly places. That means when there's a crisis, that it's almost like a partnership that He says, I can do it, but I actually want to do something through you rather than for you. Okay, can you hear that again? I want to do something through you rather than just for you. And that strengthens our faith. And I love this. Ephesians 1:11. That clock's not working. And I wore high heels on purpose so I wouldn't preach long. Just some of you know. My Monday morning group, I can keep going. And they're like, hey, it's 11:45. So I don't know what time it is. So, honey, wave at me when you think people are ready for lunch, okay? No, I'm kidding. I won't keep you that long. But Ephesians 1:11 in the Passion Translation says this, through our union with Christ, we have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. That is amazing news. I'll read it again. Through our union with Christ, we have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. So He says, you, Sean, are my inheritance. You, Matthew, Kate, you are my inheritance. Rachel, Moira, you are my inheritance. Dashney, you're my inheritance. I can't see the rest of you, sorry. Lights, no. So He's saying, you are my inheritance. You are mine. And the beautiful thing about knowing who we belong to, that's our inheritance. So that's why we have authority. He said, I've given you that. And when we know who He is, then we know who we are. I'll say that again. When we know who He is, then we know who we are. And one of my the stories that Jesus just brought and that came across this week is in Luke 10. And it's the passage where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples, okay? And they are carrying His authority. And He says in this passage, He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So He sends out the 70, and He says, you're carrying my authority. You have my authority to heal the sick. You have my authority to cast out demons. And they go. And the beautiful thing is when they come back, they see that they actually go and carry His name. They go and see change. They go and see miracles. When they come back, it says that they were ecstatic. They were jumping. They were ecstatic. Wow, we really saw that what you said is true. And He says this to them. He says, you have my authority and nothing harms you as you walk in this authority. Okay, you have my authority and nothing can harm you as you walk in this authority. But your greater source of joy is that you rejoice that your name is in heaven. You have my authority, but a greater source of joy is that you rejoice in heaven. And He's saying the greater triumph, that God's authority is over us. And He's not a harsh ruler, but do you know what? That's a safe place to be. God's authority is over us, and that means His presence is with us. In that hospital, the way our faith deepened is we surrendered to the outcome. That's the only way our faith deepened. Otherwise, you start questioning, and you go down the wrong track. And may I say, that is not the time to Google, okay? You don't want to Google. I teach pediatric first aid. I started thinking sepsis, meningitis. And it was confirmed that she actually had meningitis, but praise God today, she has no repercussions. It's an attack on your meninges, the lining of your brain and your spine. And by God's grace, she is totally perfect. Amen. So his authority is with us. We have his presence. And here in verse 21, it says this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them to babes. And the English language doesn't do justice. When I discovered this, I thought, this is incredible. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. That word rejoiced means that Jesus actually jumped up and down and shouted. Did you know that? Did y'all know that Jesus jumped up and down and shouted? I always picture him so calm and just, you know, I know the different emotions. He got frustrated with the disciples when they didn't see that they could calm that storm. He wept when Lazarus died. He got angry in the temple. He showed emotion. But I actually didn't realize that Jesus jumped up and shouted. Raise your hand if you already knew that. Okay, I thought, wow. I said that to my husband. He's like, oh yeah, I knew that. Okay, he did go to seminary and I didn't. But I was like, what? You never told me. So you know what? Freedom in church. If you want to jump and shout, Jesus did it. So that makes it amazing. Amen. I love that. So the next thing it says that he shouted and leapt with joy. And then verse 24 says this, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. So here, his 70 disciples are sent out, and they actually see the miracles. They see signs and wonders. And when he comes back, he said, you're blessed, because there's kings and prophets that would love to see this. They would love to even hear about it, but you carry it. So I just want to speak over you, church, over me, that we carry his presence. We carry his power because of Christ. It has nothing to do with us, but we know who our God is, and we carry his authority. Gary and I were talking about this last year. We went twice to Uganda, and in October, we were heading to the east of Uganda to do some teaching for pastors and leaders. And when we arrived at the airport, Benjamin picked us up. Now, Benjamin is an amazing man. I do have a picture of him, but I'm not going to show you, only because he is in he's a guard. He's a guard. What's he called? He's a warrant officer. Sorry. He's a warrant officer. Raise your hand if you know what a warrant officer is. Oh, wow. Okay, a couple of you. They have ultimate power. A warrant officer is from the army, and they basically have the power to even arrest police officers. That's how powerful they are. And the person that we were meeting, he has his own warrant officer because he is known as the grandfather in Uganda. And he a spiritual grandfather. God has used him incredibly to actually combat witchcraft. And they've seen the darkness, the forces of darkness just be pushed back. So he has his own warrant officer. Now, the cool thing, when I saw, I recognized the uniform, and I thought, wow, that is cool. And you kind of feel important, don't you? You're like, oh, got a warrant officer. So we have my husband's grinning. You're going to hear why in a minute. So we went with him, and the coolest thing, I have a video. I'll post it maybe. But it's when we were driving from the airport to the city of Kampala, and it's usually about an hour. Now, on Saturday in traffic, any of you that know, if you've ever been on mission and you think, wait, Google said it would take 5 hours, and it actually takes 11 to travel, you realize the roads and the congestion. Now, the coolest thing, if you can imagine, because of his uniform in the front seat, when we're driving, we got our own lane. Now, it's only a two-lane road. Everyone going from the airport to Kampala, it would have taken us 3 hours, and it was bumper to bumper, not moving. Now, the oncoming cars, as we were coming, can you picture what I'm saying? So there's a line, there's oncoming cars, and he has created his own lane. No kidding, it was like Moses and parting of the Red Sea. And I was like, this is so cool. Now, here's what I haven't told you. When we got picked up, because it's the warrant officer from our friend who's quite well-known, prestigious, I thought we'd be like in a 4x4, SUV, air conditioning. We were in 4 adults, 2 big things of luggage, 2 carry-ons. We were in a tiny little Yaris. Now, no offense if you own a Yaris. I think it was about 12 years old, older, oh my word, okay, it was older. But the point is, we couldn't even fit all our luggage in that car. They had to push the seats down. So if you can imagine, Gary and I were sitting on something. It wasn't even a seat. Our heads were hitting the top of the roof every time it hit a bump. And, you know, I started to get a little attitude at first. I was like, oh, my word, we're coming to serve. And this is how Holy Spirit said, girl, keep listening. You know, what are you thinking of? The most amazing thing is we were in, I'm going to say, this little bitty dumpy kind of car, and Mercedes were moving out of the way. SUVs were moving out of the way. And here's what I want us to know, church. Don't worry about the outside package. It doesn't matter what's going on or you think, I don't have what it takes. Baby, you got the Spirit of Christ in you, okay? That was my Southern, sorry. You've got the Spirit of Christ in you, and he says, carry my authority. Carry my authority. He knew we belong to him. And here's the thing. Jesus in this example says, I've hidden the revelation of this authority. Okay, when that comes from Jesus, you think, whoa, okay, let me find out what this is. I've hidden the revelation of this authority from those who are proud, from those who are wise in their own eyes, and I've only shared it with those who are humble. Okay? So this revelation of who we are and what we carry is never about the outside package or what I do, what I have. Because you know what? Sometimes, as we know, our lives get uprooted. And all that we know that is like security to us just changes. And we think, Lord, wait, what's going on? And he says this. He says, are you hungry for me? Despite what's going on, keep hungry for me. And do you know what that would entail, church? Is that you create habits. Okay, you create habits. Feast on the word. I was in a hurry the other day, and I actually put on a scripture from the Bible app and had it play to me. So I was getting ready, but I was listening to the word. So there's ways that we can connect what our spirit is hungry for. Okay, so he says, are you hungry for me? And you've got to be humble. Proverbs 12:1 from the Passion says this, if you really want to learn the truth, you must long to be teachable. If you really want to know the truth, you must long to be teachable. And do you know what? In other versions, like the NIV and the Amplified, The next phrase says, if you're not, you're stupid. Did you know that? Says the word stupid in the Bible. Okay. But it says, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Walk in humility. And then it says, your heart. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I love it in the Message version. It says this, you're blessed when you can get your inside world, your heart, and your mind put right. Can I say that again? You're blessed when you get your inside world put right, your heart and your mind. Then you can see God. Then you can see God in the outside world. How true that everything about my life is connected to the condition of my heart. Let's say that again. Everything about my life is connected to the condition of my heart. And the target of the enemy is our heart. When things get uprooted, do I get bitter? When things get uprooted, do I start questioning God or do I press in? He said, you can press into me in those seasons. You can keep looking the way I'm working. Keep listening. And you have my authority, but press into me. Because here's the thing, church, the target of the enemy is our hearts. And sometimes we don't really realize what's stored there, do we? Okay, we don't know. We don't realize what's stored there. And we simply don't see it until pressure hits. And then out it comes. Okay? And here's a real theological word for you. Are you ready? Is everybody looking up here? I know we lost an hour, but are you ready? Can you see what it is? Roadkill. Okay. For any animal lovers, I'm so sorry. I see one going, I didn't pick Bambi. I knew not to do that. That's a possum. Okay. I've actually eaten possum before, being from the South. I went to a barbecue and they said it was barbecue. I thought that was pork, chicken, or beef. It wasn't. It was possum. It actually tastes okay. But anyway, roadkill. And guess what, guys? We can't see and we can't hear and we can't walk in that freedom and authority that God's given us with roadkill in our lives. And I was driving down the road one day and I kept seeing one dead animal after the next over and over. And the Holy Spirit was saying, see all these things? That's, you know, can you imagine getting that carcass and putting it on and wearing it? Can you imagine that? No, that's pretty gross. Okay, it starts stinking, it's decaying. But yet, what Jesus did on the cross, those things that want to be like roadkill, that want to still cling to us, things that want to define us, if there's shame, if there's guilt, he says, uh-uh. Romans 8:1, we know that what? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I love the Passion version says this, the case is closed. The case is closed. That does not stand in my presence. And the beautiful thing, it says God is a consuming fire. So that means when you come into his presence, that anything that's not of him gets burned up. Amen. I'm going to say that again, that God is a consuming fire. If you know him as a Jesus follower, he now sees you through Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. And he says, as you are in my presence, anything not of me gets burned up. And that's freeing. But sometimes, again, we don't realize that it's there. Just a preference, I do have permission to share this story. And I'm just curious, my Monday morning knows about this, but how many of you have heard of the word boomeranging? Boomeranging, okay, might have different connotations. So boomeranging, I'll say this, you might look at whoever gets up here and teaches and think, wow, they've got it sorted. wow, you know what? They know the Word of God, or, you know, how cool. I have been walking with Jesus for 40 years. I said yes to Jesus when I was 16, so it's been a long time. And so I love Jesus, but you know what? By God's grace, He is constantly conforming me to His image. I'm not arrived. I keep pressing in because I want to know Him way more than I've ever known Him before. And the amazing thing is when Gary and I press in and actually see battles and victories won, then we in the spiritual realms are setting the place for our kids to follow suit. So if you're struggling with anything and you say, this is too hard, keep pressing in because you're paving the way for your generations after you. That is scripture. That's not my opinion. Amen? So boomeranging, I was listening to the radio driving down A12, and it was on one of the channels, and it was describing this this idea of boomeranging. And as I heard it, it's you know, for various reasons, it's like when adult kids have left the nest, and it might be because for financial reasons, they want to save to build a house, buy a house, or, you know, it might be a job loss or change in situation that those kids come back to the nest. Okay, so is everybody tracking with me now? And I can actually remember this moment that when I was driving down, I thought to myself, wow, what a drag. Okay? Not that I don't love my kids. I would do anything for them. But as Gary and I, he was a widower when we got married. We're a blended family. So I became an instant mommy. So those days of just the two of us were, you know, quite precious. We had only had a couple years of that. And so, you know, be careful what you think. Oh, be careful what you think. So amazingly, right after I heard that on the radio, that that Saturday, we got a phone call. Okay, we got a phone call, and one of our sons said, hey, you know, we're in a bit of transition right now. Things are okay, but just want to know that is it possible that we could come and stay with you for a while? Now, my mama's heart, it's Mother's Day. Mama's heart, without thinking, said, of course you can. We love you. We want you to come in. And as they came in and brought all their stuff and, you know, I realized, oh, my gosh, I had these little stirrings. And these stirrings were like, Holy Spirit, what is this? Okay, anytime you get a stirring, don't ignore it because it just gets worse. It was like, what is this? And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit just said, this is hard for them too. See this situation through their eyes. This is hard, you know. And I'm like, but I wasn't ready for this. This is catching me by surprise. And he said, I know. But the thing is, the four of us love Jesus. Okay, they're worship leaders in their church. They're passionate worshipers. We've learned so much from them. But you know what? At the end of the day, I can get selfish. I can think, hey, for 25 years, all those people told me, don't worry that your house is messy because one day you get to have it all clean. Okay, well, I did for a bit. And then you start looking around going, what is all this stuff? Now, they're not messy. It's more my husband. I was in Thailand last year. And after the third day, he said, honey, I looked around the house and it was so messy. And then I realized I'm the only one here. Yes, he's doing the victory dance. But do you know, I love how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If we keep our eyes opened, if we keep listening, He will speak to us. And here's how He spoke to me. I was driving up to a four-way stop. And funny enough, in Brentwood, it's called Devil's Crossing. I thought of that this morning. And because there have been so many accidents there, it's the Hartswood Road intersection. And I looked over, and there was a fallen down tree and the biggest root ever. The circumference of the root was huge. And the Holy Spirit, in a real nice way, said, Penny, that root is the problem. It's not the stuff. It's not the inconvenience. Because I had some projects I was working on and thought, I want a total perfect utopia of silence to be able to do these projects. And he said, this thing that you're praying will get out of the way is actually going to make you more relevant to people. It's going to make your heart to be able to hear my word even more profoundly. And I looked over and he said, that root, Penny, is resentment. Wow. That root was resentment. And I tell you what, I had to have, had, you know, conversation and say, I love you guys. I'm your mama. I'm supposed to know more. I'm supposed to be further along down in this road, but you know what? I'm so sorry. And that's the beauty of the cross, guys, that it's never about having it all together. And you know what? When we learn from our children, even if they're two, they're three, or they're in their 30s, it's a beautiful thing. And that's the heart of our Father. The Father has a mother heart. I love you. I'm gracious. I know you didn't mean to get all twisted, Pen, but do you know what? You can start again. And there's a beautiful verse. It's 2 Corinthians 13:11, out of the Passion. And it says, finally, beloved friends, be cheerful. Repair what is ever broken among you, as your hearts are being knit together in perfect unity. Live continually in peace, and God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with you. Wouldn't that, I'm going to say that passage again, 2 Corinthians 13:11 in the Passage Translation. Be cheerful, repair whatever is broken among you as your hearts are being knit together in perfect unity. Live continually in peace, and God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with you. And the beautiful thing, guys, is when we press in, he draws us back to himself. And my two kids are actually here today. I say kids, but they're adults. And I just want, I did get permission to share, but I just want to honor you guys and just say thank you for loving us so well. And when we get it wrong, that we all press in together, we have those hard conversations. And because of Jesus, we can keep going forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. Whew. Last slide. Any workout dudes? I was preaching at Rayleigh last week and used this slide, and my husband said, that's what I look like without my shirt on. I was like, oh my word. Our son-in-law is a trainer, and probably, but yeah, I love you, baby. And the beautiful thing, when we mess up, when we get it wrong, just keep pressing in to Jesus. His love is right there to meet you. And the last thing it says, let resistance become your resilience. So if this is a hard time, if there's uncertainty, if there's doubt, if there's unbelief, if there's struggling in your family, if you find that, oh my gosh, we went to church, we worshiped, we prayed for people, and then we argued on the way home, what is our faith about? He says, press into me. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is immense. Love is large. Corinthians says, if I give everything I own away to the poor and I have not love, I don't have anything. If I burn my body and I'm a martyr, but I didn't do it in love, I have nothing. So church, he's calling us to love. Loving first and foremost in our homes. Loving first in our neighbors, our work. But when we face resistance, know that he wants to build resilience, okay? I'm not going to do it, but I've learned to do press-ups. I've tried for 20 years. I think I can do about 3, but I'm getting there. One day I'll do some for you. And it's hard, and I'm always afraid that I'm going to fall on my face. Some of you, like Jen, are like, girl, I've been doing that for 10 years. I can see that. But, yeah. So he says, press into me. So are we willing to see his way? Are we willing to listen? Press in by using the authority that I've given you, because that's where my presence is. That's where I am, church, and a harvest awaits. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah, God, I just thank you that we belong to you. Thank you that you have called us your own. And you've said that we are your workmanship, your masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, Lord, we just want to walk in the fullness of everything that you've given us. And, Lord, we know that roadkill will be something that wants to just stop us. So I just want to give the opportunity right now, just where you are, if there's anything that wants to just, yeah, be rooted in your life that's not from him, just ask Holy Spirit now just to show you. It could be judgments made against family members. It could be bitterness that wants to just take root. It could be anger. It could be disappointment. Sometimes disappointment is clouded as that's okay. And it is okay, but if it becomes louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit, don't let that be your navigator. So Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you 24/7. We can come to you with all things. And Lord, we know that when our roots go deeper, our perspective, our vision goes higher. And God, that's our heart, Lord, that as we grow deeper in you, when we get it wrong, we know how to extend your grace, extend your forgiveness, and also receive your grace and your forgiveness. So I just want to speak over every family here. Know that you have a song. Every person here, you have a song. Let that song keep rising. Don't let the enemy take it. Thank you, Jesus, for your life and your love. And just thank you for this day. Thank you for all the women in the room of influence. Thank you, God. Thank you that we're yours. And we just pray this in your son's name. Amen.